Can we get on with it, George?
Yeah, all right, hold on. Look, mate, I've got to ask you tough questions. It's my job.
Do you have to make it so personal? I've just had half an hour with the tabloids. Now I get this.
I am apparently the murderer's next victim, Frank. From where I'm standing, this is personal.
George, can you go? Just go.
Yeah, all right. Don't get your pink frilly ones in a twist. This is George Craig for the 6 o'clock on Radio 4 and other outlets. Superintendent, why haven't you caught the journalist killer?
Look, can I make this clear once and for all? We are not dragging our feet because the killer's victims are journalists. Every officer in this investigation is doing his utmost.
Do you feel that your utmost is good enough, Superintendent?
We are confident that our investigations will lead to an early result.
You're expecting an arrest before there's another murder?
We are confident of capturing the git who's doing it in the near future.
Superintendent, thank you.
In the End, by Mark Taverner, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, and Jonathan Coy.
And the headlines again. Police have rejected criticism of their hunt for the journalist killer. Downing Street has denied suggestions that the Prime Minister intends to continue in office for another 10 years. A spokeswoman said that was a matter for the British people. In a Christmas message to voters, the leader of the Liberal Democrats has said, on the one hand, Merry Christmas. BBC Radio 4 News.
It's all right, Marcia. I'm not angry.
I just had to say something. This wretched reporter asked me the question, you know, is the PM going to lead his party for a full parliament after the next election? I could hardly say no, could I?
No, no, of course not. Not a problem. Preserves the element of surprise, doesn't it?
How do you mean?
Nothing.
What surprise are we talking about?
I mean, you know, when you think about it, I'll have given them their 2 terms of Labour government, won't I? Taken their ragbag of a party and turned it into a real, credible government. Nobody will have anything to complain about.
I don't think we ought to regard the next election as a formality, Kenny.
Oh, I have total confidence in your abilities in that direction. And I think I can probably keep it up for at least another year or two. Don't worry about that.
Kenny, what exactly are you saying?
Penny, I seem to have lost my chauffeur. You couldn't chase it up for me, could you?
Unfortunately, Chairman, I can't bring the head of transport. He's been sacked.
Sacked?
He was defined as a superfluous bureaucrat under your cost-cutting measures.
Oh, what a pity. Such a nice chap. All right, well, get me the catering manager, will you? We'll sort out the menu for the next governor's dinner. One of the pleasanter tasks of being chairman.
Unfortunately, Chairman, the catering manager is no longer with us.
What?
He was deemed a superfluous bureaucrat under your cost-cutting initiative.
Penny, a man who can create the poulet roté au chablis champignon is not to be cast aside.
No, Chairman. That's what he said when he was sacked.
Come in.
Your post, Chairman.
My post? But I'm the ruddy Chairman. I've got an entire department of people to answer my post.
Yes, Chairman. Unfortunately...
This is intolerable.
The people who answered your letters have become part of your Lay Waste to Waste initiative. You remember, it was Mr. Prentice's idea.
Prentice?
Chairman, I bought you this to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Penny, the challenge of running the BBC may be a daunting and formidable one, but I'm not about to say goodbye.
No, but I am. I've been diverted into programme making. I've got to go and work for the BBC's 24-hour news service.
Prentice!
Well, come on then, who's your money on?
I want it to be Thresher, because I don't like him.
Well, I don't like the cook much, if you come to that.
Yeah, let's be honest, Frank. We've got nothing definite to pin on either of them.
Well, I'm going to try the other angle. Are these murders connected in some way with George Craig?
Huh?
I'm off to see your old editor at the Daily Express.
Barney Crawford? Good God, I didn't know he was still living. He must be in his 80s.
86. Still going strong, though. He remembers you, all right.
Well, what are you going to get out of him?
It's just that when we were talking, you said something about your time at the Express. I don't know, George. It's probably nothing.
Carpets from Axminster, rugs out are Afghan, Lord Crichton, Potter in a transparent kaftan.
Truffles from Perigord,
ain't fit for kings.
These are
a few of my favourite things.
Foie gras? Toast?
Are you sure it's all right for us to be away from the office?
Well, now that we are the only ones left to run the BBC, I suppose we'd better not be away for too long.
I think certainly it was a good idea cutting five layers of bureaucracy simultaneously.
Martin, the government is clamouring for the BBC to cut waste. So is the press. So are the licence payers. So, more to the point, is the chairman. He jumped at it. And you must admit it's made an impact.
He's done that, all right. There were people tottering around corridors at Television Centre looking like they'd seen the ghost of Fanny Craddock. You don't think he was going a bit far abolishing the post of Director-General?
What did I say, Martin? The politics of the grand gesture.
But you've spent half your career trying to be Director-General.
And in everything but name, I am.
So, you've won. You really have finally won.
So, what's in this for you? I thought you were a crime reporter.
Well, I am, technically, but I've always thought of myself as having a fairly roving brief.
So what's the deal?
What George is saying is that we've had this idea for a series looking at the really successful people in our society.
Another media profile.
Well, no.
No, it's not that. What we're interested in is, does our society really rate success? Do we look up to people who've achieved things, or do we just love to see them brought down?
Well, I can tell you the answer to that.
Exactly.
And that's why we naturally thought of you for the show. We're only talking a short interview. You'll be paid, of course, to put your side of the story. We'll do it now, if that's convenient.
Yeah, well, all right. I can't give you long.
No problem.
Right, here we go. Coco St. Martin.
It's all right, George, I'll do it. Coco St. Martin, what would you say has been your biggest achievement?
To have changed the eating habits of a nation.
What did you do after lunch?
George, that's quite a big claim.
Look, love, any country is only ever going to produce one or two geniuses in a lifetime. Doesn't matter who they are, whether it's business or football or whatever it is. Doesn't matter if you're Richard Branson or Paul Gascoigne. Well, here, in this kitchen, I'm Paul Gascoigne.
Fat and drunk.
How can you say you've influenced all our eating habits when you're here in Mayfair charging, what, 100 quid a head?
If I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Look, love, you don't understand the influence a genius at the top has on everybody else. People say it's Mayfair, it's posh people, it's all that fancy food. What do they care about that in Slough or Penzance?
Yeah, good question.
Well, I'll tell you this. What I do in this kitchen today, they'll be eating in Slough tomorrow.
Mr. St. Martin, for someone who's achieved what you have, you've had a pretty bad press.
The cat food and the massacre.
The swearing, the violence.
And do you know why that is? Because journalists are sad, inadequate, frustrated little prats. Oh, come on, don't think I don't know what this is about. You think you can pin something on me, George Craig? You go right ahead. And I'll tell you something else. Whoever is murdering journalists is a genius of serial murder.
Marcia, this information is to go no further. It's for you and you alone. I don't mind if you let it drop that I have every intention of going on for the next 10 years.
It was just a slip.
Yeah, but a very helpful one. Marcia, 2 years after the next election, 18 months if I can manage it, I'm going to hand over the reins.
What? But
I shall do everything in my power to facilitate your succession. It won't be easy, of course, given the entire party can't stand you. But that's your problem. Make yourself more lovable, Marcia, just for a couple of years.
Kenny!
The people will expect my successor to be the Chancellor. The party will want the Chancellor. The financial markets will certainly want the Chancellor. And do you know why they won't get the Chancellor?
Because they'll be choosing me.
Because that sanctimonious bastard will never get his bum on this chair as long as there is breath in my body.
I understand the Conservative Party's frustration. We have delivered record low inflation, falling unemployment. The British economy is the envy of the world. Yeah. I can well understand that it is the envy of the Conservative Party.
Yeah. Peter, a word. So what's been going on?
Marcia and the PM met for 3 hours this morning. All I can tell you is that Marcia was smiling when she came out.
Right. Find out what they're up to. I don't care how. Just find out.
George, Maria is employed as a junior sub-editor in this newsroom, not as George Craig's personal researcher.
You said it was all right.
I said it was all right as long as you asked my permission. I didn't mean she could go swanning off whenever you wanted her to. Are you actually any nearer to cracking this story?
I'm nearly there. That's a promise. I know I am. I'm nearly there.
Well, all right. It's just I'm under a lot of pressure at the moment. I came in this morning and found my deputy had been sacked.
Sacked?
As part of a cost-cutting exercise by the head of Slash, one Charles Prentice. Why is it that whenever management tries to do anything to the BBC, it ends in chaos?
Oh, that's a bit of a deep one for me, Richard.
I'm just a humble reporter.
George, as one humble reporter to another, where's Maria?
She's just out doing a bit of work for me. She won't be long.
Mr. Thresher, how much do you miss politics?
Well, obviously, I have my broadcasting career, and I like to think that with my involvement in football, I'm making almost a bigger contribution to the things people care about.
It was the media that ruined your career, wasn't it? Journalists, I mean.
No, I don't want to talk about that. I thought we were here to talk about how society treats its high achievers.
But wasn't being a cabinet minister your highest achievement? And wasn't it the media that took that away from you?
Can you turn that machine off, please?
Which department did you say you were from?
Features.
You're another bloody journalist, aren't you? Who put you up to this? Does your editor know you're here?
Mr. Thresher, would you unlock the door,
just
please?
Just another bloody little reporter with a name to make.
Would you unlock the door, please? I want to go
you
now.
You stinking little bitch.
Would you let me go now, please?
Am I ever going to be free of you snivelling little bastards?
I want to go,
are you
please.
Proud of what you do, eh?
Hello? Hello?
Can I go now?
Just get out of my sight.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Kenny, I'm trying to protect myself as much as you. Look, you know as well as I do that the Treasury's got eyes and ears everywhere, all over Whitehall.
But as far as my resignation plans are concerned, I've told you and not another living soul.
Well, obviously I won't tell anybody, but you only have to let a word slip. You know what he's like. He'll know about it.
So what do I do?
You let him in on the secret.
What?
With one small difference. One that will put an end to all this backbiting and sniping at you. Now, listen.
What in hell's name did you think you were doing? What did you think you were doing?
Maria was acting under my instructions.
Maria is my member of staff, George, not yours.
I was following a lead.
Following a lead? Rupert Thresher is a distinguished broadcaster and a former cabinet minister. You send a young sub purporting to be a researcher on a totally bogus programme.
Rupert Thresher is a murder suspect.
Oh, for pity's sake. I can't stop this, you know, George. If he makes a personal complaint to the chairman, there's nothing I can do. The pair of you are for the high jump.
Look, it was Maria's fault. It was my idea.
Maria's old enough to know better. I thought you said you were nearly there with this murder story.
And I am. I'm expecting a major development from Superintendent Jefferson at any moment.
This is out of my hands, George. I mean it. Ask Maria to come in, would you?
Okay. You all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What I did was really irresponsible. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
If you don't want to be involved anymore...
Oh, no, George. It's made me more determined than ever.
Would it interest you to learn that I am now unable to get into the governor's dining room?
What, too many governor's lunches, Chairman? Sorry, inappropriate levity.
Yes, it was. Do you know why I am unable to get into the governor's dining room? Because it can only be opened by one man, the governor's personal security officer.
Stout fellow. Cock up on the adjective front.
He has been sacked for being a superfluous bureaucrat.
Chairman, 1,000 apologies. That was careless of you, Martin.
Me? I always warned there would be unintended consequences.
And how very right you were. What is it with you BBC people? First of all, you fill the corporation full of irrelevant overpaid bureaucrats. You bring in all the wrong people, and you cock it up.
Well, up to a point, yes.
Then you say, oh dear, there are too many bureaucrats. We'd better get rid of them. So you sack all the wrong people, and you cock it up. What the hell do you think you're playing at?
Management, Chairman.
I have been doing a little management consultancy of my own. Do you know, according to my researches, you two are the most useless, unproductive, clock-watching, time-wasting profligates in the entire BBC.
That's a very extreme claim, Chairman.
Yeah, but fair, very fair.
Gentlemen, the time has come for your distinctive talents to be employed elsewhere.
Well, naturally, any way in which we can serve the corporation...
In the private sector.
The private sector? The flexible labour market?
The ruthlessly competitive global economy? No. No, Chairman, I hardly think it's us.
Nonsense. It'll be the making of you.
But we've been at the BBC for decades. We're totally unemployable in any capacity whatever.
I have every confidence in you.
Well, I haven't.
Chaps, you're quite right. You've been at the BBC a long time. And it's only fair, after all that time, that I say, what a pleasure it's been sacking you.
You understand, Russell, that I've told no one else, not a living soul.
I must confess, I'm very surprised.
You don't want to believe all this stuff about 10 more years, you know. To deliver 2 full terms for Labour, that's what I said.
And within 2 years of the election, you'll be standing down.
Oh, you know, there's more to life than politics. But don't think I've forgotten the debt I owe to you. I'm here because of you. I know that, Russell. And I'm going to do everything in my power to ease your succession into Number 10.
I see. I had thought that perhaps your loyalty to Marcia...
Russell, Marcia Mallon will not be Prime Minister as long as there is a breath in my body. Don't think I can't see through Marcia. Of course, anything in the nature of disloyalty, unfortunate leaks, things that damage the government, things that suggest that in some sense you and I are at loggerheads.
They are things of the past as of this moment. Prime Minister, my loyalty to you will be total.
Good. Good.
I was only George's editor for 2 or 3 years, you know, before he went on to the BBC. A damn good crime reporter, the best. But I can't think of anyone who'd want to murder George, apart from every editor he's ever worked for. But you're sure of this? That this chap who's been bumping off journalists is after old George?
Our information points that way, sir, yes.
But so why have you come to me? After all, if you're right, couldn't the reason just be that George is a high-profile crime correspondent? A sort of obvious target, in a way.
Except that the other victims haven't been crime reporters. They've all specialised in one way or another in exposés, scandals. See, what we're looking for is somebody who has a reason, a very good reason, to hate journalists. But maybe it was George who gave them that reason in the first place.
His time at the Express was 30 years ago. We're talking the 1960s.
Yes, sir. But you see, ever since then he's been at the BBC. It just seems to me that if George ever was involved in anything mucky, well, don't get me wrong, but it just seems likelier to have been in Fleet Street. You know, no offence or anything.
No, I take your point.
So you can't think of any story George worked on when you were his boss that caused somebody to bear a grudge? A real proper grudge? A reason to hate?
It was so long ago. I can't think this will be of any help to you, but... Well, yes. I can think of one.
And the headlines again. Police have admitted they're no nearer to catching the journalist killer. And the former Spice Girl, Jerry Halliwell, has been appointed editor of the Daily Telegraph. BBC Radio 4 News.
Thanks, everybody.
Robin's doing us a piece from Downing Street for the 6 o'clock news.
Fine. George.
Richard, I'd like to ask your permission.
You'd like to do what? My God, put out the flags.
I want to borrow Maria, if that's all right by the editor.
As long as you ask, George, of course it's all right. Why, you want something?
Oh, I'm just fed up with these police and no nearer headlines. Frank Jefferson's right up his own routine inquiry, as usual. So we'll have to solve the case for him, like I always do.
All right, well... Keep me informed.
Maria, can you spare a minute?
Sure, George.
Look, the superintendent, in his wisdom, is off on some wild goose chase. These murders are all to do with George Craig's murky past. What do you reckon?
He's your friend, George, but is he always like this?
Frankly, yes. That's why he needs me. Now, look, it's one of these two, Thresher, St. Martin. Agreed?
Yes, agreed.
Then we need to do something to flush them out. Book a table at Coco St. Martin for tonight. Tell him we want a private room for George Craig and the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. Secrecy, absolutely essential.
What about Thresher?
Do an email to Richard. Only don't send it to him. Just make sure it accidentally finds its way onto Thresher's computer. Say that George Craig has vital information about the journalist murders and we'll be sharing it with the Commissioner tonight. All news outlets to stand by for a major story around midnight.
Well, don't I get to come to this?
Of course you do. Meet me here in the car park at about 7:30. By the end of tonight, we'll have a murderer to give to the superintendent.
And let me just say this. People say I've done a wonderful job at the Treasury, but
here,
I...
Here.
So you have, Russell. So you have.
But I couldn't have done it without the Prime Minister, my friend and colleague, the Prime Minister. Now, let's get behind him and win the next election.
How very gracious of you, Russell.
The least I could do, Kenny. Here's to the future, wherever we may be.
Yes, yes, wherever we may be.
It would just be nice for once to get there ahead of George Craig.
Well, it was the last story George did before he left the Express, as a matter of fact. A little girl was murdered.
Jodie Leith. George talked to me about it.
Yeah, it upset him. Yeah. Anyway, I sent George to interview the mother.
when she'd just lost her kid?
She seemed to trust George. People did.
So what happened?
I wanted something the other papers wouldn't get. I wanted us to beat the opposition. Well, it was my job. I told George... No, I ordered George to get a photo of the kid. Something the other papers wouldn't get because we were there first.
You mean with or without the mother's permission?
There was the picture of the child on top of the television. The mother's favourite picture of the kid.
Yeah.
Well, while she was out making tea or something, George...
Stole it.
He came back to the office, gave me the picture, went out and got roaring drunk, and the next day he resigned. He told me he felt like he was working in a sewer.
And you ran the picture?
Of course we ran it. On the front page.
And the mother?
Both parents were devastated. The father died shortly afterwards. The mother blamed George for the photograph. Well, we left her alone after that, of course.
Oh, yeah, that was good of you.
She did remarry about 10 years later, even had another daughter. But, Superintendent, I can't see what this could possibly have to do with your murder inquiry. If the mother's still alive, she's the same age as I am. Hardly up to serial murder.
You're probably right. Oh, just for the record, sir, the daughter, the second one, she'd be in her early 20s now, wouldn't she?
I suppose so.
I don't suppose you can remember her name, can you?
After all this time, Marianne, Mary, Marcia. Ah, Maria. She was called Maria.
Maria! Maria!
The most beautiful sound I ever heard on line one for George Cragg.
Maria, is that you?
All the beautiful sounds of the world in a single word on line one for George Cragg.
Maria! Come on, love! Maria!
Hello, George.
You're trying to tell me one of my sub-editors is a murderer?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you for the fourth time. Hold on, George. Hold on, we're coming, mate.
This door. The underground car park. Through here.
George! You all right, mate?
Yeah, just great, Frank.
Oh, I solved the case.
Did you? Well done. Good old Frank of the Yard. Late as usual. I don't think I'd come any closer.
Oh, look. Let's put the gun down and talk things through.
Shut up.
Well, get on with it, then.
Oh, I've waited a long, long time for this.
Spare me the death scene from Antony and Cleopatra. Just get on with it.
All right, George. This is for Private Eye. This is for the news of the world. This is for every one of you lying, stinking bastards. Goodbye, George.
Armed police, drop the weapon. Armed police, drop your weapon. Come on, Maria. Give the gun to the superintendent. It's over. It's all over.
George, what are these officers doing here?
I suggested they might care to drop in, Frank. To arrest the journalist killer.
You mean you knew?
Of course I knew. I'm the best crime reporter in the world, didn't they tell you? Sorry I couldn't let you in on it, Frank. Armed police, this is your final warning. Throw down your weapon and lie face down on the ground.
Maria, if I were you, I'd hate me too. I did resign from the job the day after, you know. You went into journalism just so you could get close to me.
3 times I applied to the BBC before I finally got in. And then when I made it to the newsroom, I thought, well, there's no hurry now, is there? There's plenty more who deserve it as much as he does. Might as well take a few of the others before I get round to George.
Come on in. You better give me the gun now.
The gun? Oh no, you can't have the gun. The gun's for George.
George! Oh, my God. Get an ambulance!
George? George, can you hear me, mate? You gonna be all right? Listen, we've got the full confession. Well done, mate. Even if you did beat me to it, I nearly had you this time. Come on, George, you're a survivor. George Cragg. Take more than a bullet to polish you off, won't it?
Frank.
Frank.
I'm here for you, George. I'm here, my friend. What is it?
Frank. Frank.
Yes, George? Yes, my old mugger?
Frank. Frank. Oh, bollocks.
Oh, it's the end of an era, Charles.
No, Martin. It's a new beginning.
New labour, new millennium, all this ruddy newness.
Try to be positive. Chap like you, I bet the offers are flooding in. Now, tell me honestly, has your phone stopped ringing?
My phone hasn't started ringing.
Well, no, neither has mine. Yet. But as soon as the word is on the street, Charles and Martin are available. They'll be beating down the doors.
Yeah, to repossess the furniture. Charles, you remember that fellow Godfrey something? Got fired from religious programs after that business with the photocopier and the kumquat.
Oh, yes.
The day they sacked him, he walked straight out of Broadcasting House, stood in the middle of Oxford Circus and yelled, "Hello, world, I'm available."
And I bet he got offers.
Oh, yes. He had the choice of membership of the Welsh Assembly or selling the big issue in Acton.
Martin, Martin, does the private sector really hold any terrors for men of our talent?
Yes, he does.
Well, perhaps a few minor bijou terrorettes. Come, old friend, this is not the chill wind of change. It's the bracing breeze of opportunity.
We take the golden road to Samarkand.
And change at Acton. Oh, Charles, supposing the offers don't flood, the phones don't ring.
Hello, world, I'm available. Hello, world, I'm available.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 2 o'clock. The Prime Minister has reaffirmed his commitment to what he called the New Labour Project for the new millennium. A woman has been remanded in custody after being charged with 5 counts of murdering journalists. The funeral has taken place of the BBC's former crime correspondent George Cragg. And the footballer Vinnie Jones has been made editor of The Spectator.
In the End was written by Mark Taverner and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Jonathan Coy, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Anton Rogers, Rebecca Front and Jessica Oyelowo. And also featured Simon Greenall, Harry Taub, Phil Cornwell, Michael Fenton-Stevens, Hugh Parker, David Holt, Beth Chalmers and Harriet Cass. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. The editor was Rex Brough, and the executive producer was Paul Schlesinger. In the End was produced by Dawn Ellis.
Maria,
yeah.
Coffee.